This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Friday, May 8th, 2009, Gillette Stadium. We are in the wake of Patriots rookie minicamp 2009. And as such, we have some moves to announce from that camp where a group of 10 players tried out for the New England Patriots. And the lucky eight got contracts following the weekend. And I will run down that list now. Not all rookie free agents. There are some veterans involved, including a 7-year veteran linebacker out of Boston College by the name of Vinny. Paul Perillo, help me out here.
Cheer-choo.
Cheer-choo. Cheer-choo. If I say it like that, it does get kind of catchy. Cheer-choo.
Cheer-choo. Cheer-choo.
Cheer-choo. Yeah. That's what they're going to do at the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Cheer-choo. They're cheer the chewing. See what I did there? That's this weekend at Patriot Place.
Andy Hart
take long today.
Will not be taking part, surprisingly. No.
Tyree Barnes, wide receiver.
He's got too much of an advantage.
Navy, is a rookie free agent.
Looks good in a uniform.
Omar Cuff, running back, Delaware, first-year player, 5'9", 195 pounds. Looks good in shorts and a uniform out there, Paul.
Quick feet.
Lightning
bouncy.
Quick feet.
Eric Catani, running back, Navy, 5'11", 235.
Fullback
rookie
type.
Rookie free agent.
Not quick feet.
Yeah, not quick
fullback
feet.
Fullback type.
Robert Little Poppy Ortiz, wide receiver, 6'1", 188. He's a one out of San Diego State. Of course, Patriots fans remember him from his time here last summer. Right, Paul?
I do remember him here last summer. Couldn't tell you one thing that stood out about him, however.
Punter Aaron Perez, 6'2", 231, rookie free agent out of UCLA.
Wide receiver? My experts say no chance.
No chance. Shun White, although Paul Perillo believes S-H-U-N could be read Sean. We should look that up for that pronunciation.
We'll have to figure that out.
5'8", 195 pounds, stocky little receiver out of the University of Navy, or whatever they call it. And Steve Williams, defensive lineman, second-year veteran out of Northwest Missouri State, who has a background in the league with the Kansas City Chiefs a couple years back, 6'2", 306. And as I said, the most notable name on the list, Vinny Cheer-Choo, a special teamer, basically 5'11", 235 out of B.C., it's been around the league a little bit. The Panthers has a background with Scotty O'Brien, the special teams coach here now, last year in Minnesota. Actually started some games at different times. And then later in the week, the Patriots signed veteran safety Brandon McGowan, a former undrafted free agent out of the University of Maine. And they released punter Tom Malone. So apparently Aaron Perez, the rookie free agent, will get the shot to compete at least in the preseason with Chris Hansen. Brandon McGowan, Paul Perillo. I want your thoughts on him because it was sort of sold by John Clayton on ESPN and then kind of picked up by area outlets here that Brandon McGowan in some way relates to Rodney Harrison.
Yeah,
I find that ridiculous.
I'm not sure I make that connection either. Look, McGowan was a guy that certainly maximized his ability as an undrafted free agent, hooked on, even got himself into the starting lineup occasionally in Chicago. I think he has about 10 or 12.
13, I believe.
13 career starts
in
4 years or something like that. He did not play at all last year.
Two games. Missed 14 games on IR, I think.
Oh, I thought he missed all of...
No.
What, did he miss...
One start,
did he miss a
tackles.
Whole season at all?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, all right. So he played two games last season. I can't imagine that kind of guy is going to be the guy that pushes...
Rodney.
A guy who was starting last year.
He had an ankle
hurt.
Ankle injury last year,
right.
Knocked him
after
out.
After two games went on IR.
Now, that all said, they were still kind of thin at safety. You know,
yeah.
they had added Chung. Good, solid signing. You get a guy who's played some in the league, you know, could probably fill a variety of roles, special teams,
sure.
Sub packages, safety, whatever.
Right. 5'11", 207, nice special teams build, but there's a difference between being a fourth safety / special teamer and,
sign Brian Dawkins.
Right.
Dawkins.
So I found it strange, and he was, and I think it's one of those things where John Clayton maybe got the information through an agent, has a relationship with the agent, and the reporting of the story was kind of filled with different phrases that, you know, were a payback for a favor or to kind of prop
best,
up the
player. The best young safety available or something
experienced
like that?
Experienced young safety available. And then said the Patriots were looking for a hard-hitting type, you know, to replace Harrison or fill out a role Harrison has had, and that was enough to sell McGowan on the Patriots. We're selling Brandon frickin' McGowan on the Patriots. I didn't know we need to sell ourselves on anyone. Like, just the story was ridiculous. I think he'll battle for a roster spot.
Sure.
He sounds like the kind of scrappy player, kind of like a maybe a little bit more talented Raven Trone in terms of defensive, being able to play defense. But let's not forget, my guess is he played in Chicago because Mike Brown is always hurt. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he always starts the year and then gets hurt. Sounds like McGowan was probably behind him somewhere on the depth chart, and that's kind of how he ended up in the lineup.
And so, Brown is available still as a free agent, correct?
I believe so, but that leads me to believe he must just be physically damaged.
Because if you had the choice,
goods done,
if you had the choice between the two, you'd take Mike Brown.
I would think. Okay, let's rewind it just a little bit. We'll go back to this list of guys that was signed, these eight guys. In addition to the dozen rookies that were out on the field, I want to get your reactions. Paul Perillo, you are a big Darius Butler fan. What were your first reactions to his time on the field here in New England?
Yeah, I was impressed. I thought the athleticism that we were kind of told about, showed out on the field. I know that you guys, the first practice on Friday that I did not see, you guys said he was a little sloppy with the football at times.
Yeah.
But I didn't see that. And what I did see in the afternoon on Friday was that guy that we had been talked about, we had been told about, you know, just really, really tight coverage on almost every rep that he took in 7-on-7s and made some nice breaks on the ball, made an unbelievable catch on the sideline on the far side for an interception. I was very impressed with the overall athleticism.
Eric, unfortunately, one of the guys you and I really liked looked pretty good on the rookie minicamp field until he got injured, and that's Tyrone McKenzie. Reports out of the Boston Globe indicate that he has a torn ACL and will obviously miss his rookie season, one in which we thought he was going to battle for at least rotational reps in the preseason and then maybe into the regular season. Where do you think that leaves the inside linebacker slot and linebacker in general right now? A little weak?
Very thin. Very thin. Like you said, we were at least projecting him to be competitive, if not for a starting job, at least on a rotational basis. I think what that does now is, assuming they don't make any more moves between now and training camp at that spot, a guy like Antonio Appleby, who was a rookie free agent, has now more of a chance of maybe making the team. Maybe a guy like Gary Guyton, who was the rookie free agent who made it last year, has more of a chance to be a contributor now. But I don't know if we've seen enough of them to be confident that that's going to be, you know, enough next to Jerod Mayo. We were looking for someone kind of, maybe not in Mayo's category because there are very few like him, but someone who can at least hold that position. Let Mayo be the guy who roams around and makes some more plays and have the other guy be more complimentary role. And as far as the outside linebacker spot goes, they still don't have Julius Peppers or Jason Taylor as of this broadcast, and that's a problem because there's talk now that if they're so thin at inside that they need to move on occasion, Adalis Thomas onto the inside. Now you have two outside spots that really don't have a starter there, and you're even in more dire straits. So,
it is an interesting situation. A guy who never stepped on the field, we kind of had penciled in as a contributor. He goes down, and it's the sky is falling all of a sudden. I do think, though, you're right, because McKenzie, I think, is more talented, and I think his intelligence level, bouncing from three different schools, as Bill said, having an immediate impact. Bill said he was amongst the most impressive players he's ever talked to in terms of maturity and all that. I think we all used that to say, okay, he's got a good chance to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can go the other way, though, with Antonio Appleby. I don't think he's quite as gifted, but he comes from the Al Groh system at Virginia where he may be more ready to jump in and play because of that, much like Eric Alexander or Randall Gay, particularly in the past, an undrafted free agent.
From a mental standpoint.
Who was ready to play because the scheme from Nick Saban to Bill Belichick was so similar. So Appleby is now a guy, I think, to keep an eye on to maybe win a job that, you know, a week ago he didn't really have all that much of a chance at winning, but he could now be in the mix with a Guyton and a Bruschi on the inside.
And we should probably add that the report that Andy alluded to about McKenzie, you know, has not been officially announced anything in terms of the Patriots. They won't announce that because he's not really signed.
Right.
So
can't
you don't put
a guy you don't own on IR.
Right. So, but that also, it wasn't just the Boston Globe. It was in multiple sources.
Oh, yeah.
The Herald had something, I think Yahoo or one of those websites. Was it CBS Sports? Maybe. I forget which one. But it wasn't like just one paper had it.
No, it was picked up all over.
And there's some doubt there. It certainly would seem that that is the case. And McKenzie's out for the year.
Yes. So that leaves us with one thing. and that's the JT watch. No, not Justin Timberlake. Settle down, Eric. It's Jason Taylor.
Have you seen the new look he's got, by the way, with the glasses?
Yeah, terrible look. But I will take the look of Jason Taylor. I think we all now agree that that feels like a needed signing. That feels like a must-have if we're going to continue to move forward with such confidence that this Patriots team is the team to beat in the AFC or is the legitimate Super Bowl contender. Because right now, it feels like they have what could be a fatal flaw at linebacker.
It feels like 2007 all over again, where they were the favorites certainly going in, but you still looked at that defense a little bit and said, the offense better score some points, which they ended up doing, because there's...
A couple. 500.
Maybe. Yeah. And it has the same kind of feel now. You have to rely, at least at this point, a lot on the offense, where it looked like they were starting to make some moves. And they probably will. If they sign Taylor, then they may have helped themselves out enough at linebacker. They signed Springs and Bodden. They may have helped themselves out enough at corner. And in the defensive backfield, drafting Chung for some extra support, whether or not Harrison comes back. And your front, you know, your front line guys are still, you know, under contract and they're ready to go, whether or not Will Fork gets an extension or Seymour or whoever. So, the Jason Taylor thing, it may be one guy who signs, but it psychologically does a lot to like you said, legitimize the Patriots being the number one team to beat this year.
Plus, as the Boston Globe has indicated, he has a longstanding bromance with your quarterback, Tom Brady. Would make a nice little fit, a nice little story. Get the boys back together for a championship run. We can slide him into that old guy who's really good, Hall of Famer, wants a ring. Jason Taylor's the guy this year.
Minicamp.
Hungry.
Yeah. Minicamp. Jason Taylor will be on the field as a Patriot.
Yes.
I like the way you think.
About a month away.
Early June, we will see Jason Taylor in New England, hopefully, because as we all believe at this point, it's kind of a must-need signing because they are precariously thin at linebacker.
And by June 1st, Rodney Harrison says he'll make his decision. Yeah.
He said by like the end of January,
five months ago. Yeah, but I think he's serious about it this time. And Jason Taylor, rumored to be within a couple of weeks, so that means before the
end. Who knows?
So Perillo,
rumors are often wrong.
You're on target.
I don't buy any of the rumors. Till Jason Taylor's a Patriot, I'm just going to say, I want Jason Taylor.
I'm just going to say he's not a Patriot.
That's right.
I'm going to pull a Fred Kirsch and wait till it's over.
And the biggest news, Dolphin Stadium, where Jason Taylor could play next year, either as a Patriot or as a Dolphin, will be called Land Shark Stadium. For a lager that is tied to Jimmy Buffett. You know, just nice, relaxed atmosphere down there under Bill Parcells. Jimmy Buffett and Bill Parcells. Is there a better match made in heaven? Yeah. There is. It's Paul Perillo and Eric Scalvino along with me, Andy Hart. Until next week when we come back to update you yet again on all the roster moves, take care.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.